sort of fun being here in this space in the morning. Many of your faces are familiar. This space is very familiar. This pulpit's very familiar to me. So it's an interesting combination. And today you, the congregation, have installed Anna and licensed her. And it is also your final week, Sunday, of exploring the theme of hospitality in this particular series. Some time ago, Tom asked if I would present something in worship about the faith's hospitality houses. This Sunday, I was told, was to focus on practical stories of hospitality. And then Anna's installation got added, and I wasn't sure how to hold these two in any coherent manner together. But Anna helped me out. As part of the CDC credentialing committee, I read Anna's MLI, which is her ministerial leadership inventory, and I also was part of her licensing interview. Anna's passion for seeing the gospel and her work through the lens of hospitality was quickly evident. A few sentences from Anna's MLI are eloquently illustrating this. I see our communities as being the starting point. Through the Holy Spirit, we are allowed to extend grace to each other and to experience the joy of those who are fully known and loved by God and by their community. When we become aware of our own sense of belovedness, we can extend that love to others. Later, Anna writes, I feel strongly that the church should be a place of welcome for all people, especially those on the margins. God's table is big enough for all. And today, you are practicing a concrete act of hospitality in welcoming Anna on your leadership team. Anna is not new to you. I also began my pastorate in the congregation in which I already had been involved for many years. It is terribly vulnerable feeling to and high risk to put yourself forward in your own congregation. Because if you're not chosen, you have a lot of emotional work to do. But you have chosen Anna, and she can find comfort and affirmation that you chose her in spite of knowing her pretty well, both her gifts and her shadows. And that is a good feeling, to be known yet still chosen. On the other hand, Anna doesn't really get that honeymoon period when everyone thinks she's the best thing since apple pie. For the scripture reading today, I chose this Old Testament story of Elisha being welcomed into the home of the Shunammite woman. The story predominantly centers around this great woman of faith. And there are four actors in the drama, as we've heard: Elisha, his servant, the woman's husband, and a baby. But the central figure is this woman and her ministry of faith by which she showed hospitality to Elisha as a man of God. The story begins, one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a prominent woman was there. Literally, that could be translated a great woman. And the word great sometimes is used for wealth or influence or character. Maybe she was a great woman in a number of ways. But we know she was full of faith and good works and hospitality. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room for him on the roof. And let's put in it a bed, a table and chairs, and a lamp, that he can stay there whenever he comes our way. I like this story of hospitality for several reasons. I like that a need for hospitality was perceived, then a plan was conceived and implemented with careful thought to detail to provide for the well-being of this guest. I also like that her husband went along with her plan. No questions asked, no excuses made. Let's make a little room and let's furnish it like this. Enthusiasm wiggles its way out of this story. The little room, like I said, had this bed and table, she said, oh, and a chair and lamp. It was a welcoming place, and I would guess quite lovely. But the most important reason I chose this story is because it is a story of blessing that goes both ways. The guest is also the giver. Elisha is recipient of hospitality, and in time, the Shunammite woman and her husband receive a great gift from their guest. And that gift is a baby. A baby is a sign of blessing, of joy, of fullness. The story of hospitality I am going to tell you today is also has a baby in it. A baby that brought blessing, joy, and fullness. But like the Shunammite woman, I too was weary with the announcement of a baby coming. Hospitality has been a central focus for the faith congregation since it was established in 1990 by a small group of persons from here, Assembly. This group began with the intention of connecting with people from the neighborhood who had no church home. Now, for the past 28 years, you have continued to offer faith the use of your building for our congregation's weekly Sunday evening worship service and our meal following. Faith now consists of 90 to 100 people from a range of social, economic, and educational backgrounds. And because of your generous provision of worship space, it helped make it possible for Faith to purchase a hospitality house in 2005, since we did not have the cost or burden of a church building to maintain. The Faith House at 413 South 7th Street, near downtown, has become a hub of activity for both formal and informal church and community gatherings. Our church office is located in this house. Folks bring their laundry and like to hang out at the house. Faith's MYF and some small groups gather there regularly. Open Table Mennonite Fellowship, which grew out of both Assembly and Faith, meets at the house on Sunday mornings for worship and a meal. Additionally, the house is available to the community. It has been used for after-school neighborhood children's programs, for book clubs, prayer groups, pastors' meetings, and by our local elementary school for staff gatherings. But most importantly, as a congregation, which has members who experience periods of homelessness, having a guest room for short-term emergency housing has been priority since the beginning. The demand for our guest room grew as we made community connections with Oaklawn Mental Health Center and the Elkhart County Clubhouse, a community support service for persons with persistent mental illness, and other referrals occasionally from congregations or individuals as well. Our guests stay from average of 2 weeks to a few months, during which time they are working at finding more permanent housing. Our guests add to the character of the Faith House, becoming a welcoming place for all who come and go from its doors. We have discovered that the combination of uses creates a vibrant atmosphere that is conducive to physical, spiritual, and mental well-being for our guests. One guest, after being invited to play cards one evening with the house host, said to his friends, "It was just so great being together and feeling normal. When you're homeless, the ability to have fun doesn't really follow you around anymore." Then in December of 2016, the house next door to the Faith House, 411 South 7th Street, came up for sale. And it prompted the question, is God calling us to expand our ministry of hospitality? It didn't take long for our local community partners to weigh in on the conversation, reminding us of significant needs in the community for short-term transitional housing options. But how could our little congregation ever come up with $139,000 to buy this house? Soon we had an answer. There was a local business person who was aware of the need, who came forward with a significant offer of logistical and financial help towards a down payment. So in just 11 days of prayerful discernment and discussion of the practical implications, the congregation affirmed taking the next step to expand our ministry of hospitality. When Darren, my co-pastor, and I talked to our Mennonite pastor peers, we heard strong affirmation for our mission, which also gave us confidence in proceeding. Financial support from sister congregations and individuals ultimately helped pull enough together to make the down payment. We continue to be dependent on the generosity of congregations and individuals to make our monthly mortgage payment of $800. That was a big leap of faith for us because we don't have the resources within our congregation. It is a stretch to meet our $101,000 annual spending plan, as it is. The guests came to the Hope House before we even got a host in place. This house has a capacity for 2 to 3 guests in addition to live-in hosts. Additionally, it offers space for small group meetings and other congregational or community functions. We've learned that our guests being part of a community in addition to housing is crucial for people moving out of homelessness. Many of our guests struggle with the impact of mental illness. Providing safe and affordable short-term housing is one concrete way we as a congregation feel called to share the love of God in our city of Goshen and to grow in relationship with our neighbors. Now a story which I have been given permission to freely share. Several years ago, David came as a guest to the Faith House directly out of jail. He had grown up in Indianapolis with an abusive father. His mother was never part of his life. And although he had some learning disabilities, he went into the military, and while serving in Iraq, an explosion left him with a traumatic head injury. He can no longer read and has significant short-term memory issues as well as impulse control challenges. David is super friendly and quickly began making friends with many of our congregation in the months that he lived in the Faith House. He also became a member of the Elkhart County Clubhouse, and there he met Crystal, his girlfriend. After leaving the Faith House, David kept in touch. And then this relationship was strengthened several summers ago when our son Hans was working at the clubhouse, and David and Crystal adopted Hans as their brother. And by extension, they adopted our entire family as their family. They worship with a faith community, and they asked me to marry them. However, David had been previously married and didn't have the money for divorce, nor did he know where his former wife was. So eventually we agreed upon that I would do a commitment ceremony, honoring their desire to be together in this relationship. This happened with many folks from the congregation and the clubhouse staff present to support them and witness their commitment. They wrote practical vows for each other, like, David, will you not threaten to leave Crystal when you get angry? And Crystal, will you give David space to go places without you or do things with friends, believing him when he says he loves you? Fast forward a year, spring of 2017, David and Crystal are again homeless and living in a tent down by the Elkhart River. They show up nearly daily at our house for food or conversation. Their Oaklawn managers and the clubhouse staff were working on finding them an apartment to rent. In the meantime, Crystal became pregnant. They were elated. I was distressed. There is no way I believe that these two had the capacity to parent a child. And I sort of made that clear at the beginning, and they came back the next day and said, Mom, we cried all night long because of what you said. If the thought of parenting one child wasn't overwhelming enough, soon they discovered that Crystal was pregnant with twins. At that point, with the congregation's support, I made a commitment to do whatever was needed to subsist Crystal with a healthy pregnancy. This involved going to doctor's appointments with her, grocery shopping with her, and providing emotional support, to name a few. The congregation also rallied behind David and Crystal. Soon they were in their own apartment, and Faith gave them a housewarming shower, which they loved. They were elated with this apartment on Olive Street. However, all too soon, David's emotional health suffered, and he hit Crystal, which landed him in jail 5 months before the babies were born. Crystal wasn't able to manage in the apartment independently during her pregnancy. Due to serious mental illness, she had spent much of her childhood and adolescence going between foster care and state mental institutions. So when the space came available in the Hope House, we moved her in for the remainder of her pregnancy. However, the situation still seemed overwhelming. Two babies on the way, David in jail, and Crystal unable to independently care for herself, let alone two children. Her case managers at Oaklawn got CAPS, Child and Parent Services, involved for extra support. Crystal was excited about having these babies. However, she really did not have the faintest idea what parenting involved. conversations about the possibility of adoption just did not fly with her. That was until our son Hans came up with the idea of her trying robot babies to get a sense of what it means to care for a baby. And not just one, but two robot babies. You know those kind that are used in middle school or high school for kids in home ec class? CAPS had a program for lending out robot babies, and with my support, Crystal took on the care of two robot doll babies for a long, long weekend, which included church retreat. That weekend is one I will never forget as we struggled day and night to care for the needs of these computer-programmed, crying, hungry, pooping robot babies. Not to mention that one baby died because not enough of the prompts for attention were met. When Crystal was told this, she cried. She had become quite attached to these dolls and had been diligent in her care for them. After that, reality set in, and Crystal was ready to consider adoption because she realized she couldn't adequately care for a child, let alone two. The CAPS social worker contacted Bethany Christian Adoption Services for assistance. And for the next few months, Crystal and I met weekly with the adoption social worker to move toward an adoption. Crystal also received a lot of encouragement and support from the congregation for her decision. The circle of support was superb. It included Oaklawn, Elkhart County Clubhouse, CAPS, Bethany Adoption Agency, Faith Mennonite, and many individuals. An adoptive family was chosen by Crystal. And on January 21st of this year, Crystal went to labor and I accompanied her to Goshen Hospital where she delivered two darling little girls. That was the right sound effect. And I had the honor of being the significant other for her C-section births. Crystal had minimal contact with her biological mother, who suffers from severe mental illness. The adopted parents arrived at the hospital and had their own maternity suite. And before the babies left the hospital, we offered an entrustment blessing ritual. And Crystal gave the babies gifts and a letter she had written. Her letter to them included these lines. First off, I want you to know I love you very much. It is because I love you so much that I gave you up for adoption because I knew I couldn't take care of you. I didn't want you to be in foster system like I was. I talked to you a lot when you were in my belly. It was enjoyable to be with you as long as possible. I hope you grow up strong and have a good life with your new family. The Hope House has offered Crystal a safe and comfortable place for her pregnancy and for several months following. The church family loves her. If you have met Crystal once, she considers you her friend. About a month after the adoption, 20 or so women from our congregation and those from her support systems had a get-together for Crystal to honor her adoption decision and to give her small self-care gifts. Crystal called it her reassurance party. The adoption is open, so there's occasional contact with the family and the twins, and they are good at sending pictures every month. After 10 months in jail, David was released, and their Oaklawn case managers again found them an apartment to rent. Now, let me be clear. Loving and supporting Crystal and David is not a tiresome duty for myself or for the faith congregation. At one point, after grocery shopping trip together, she said, "Oh, Mom, I just love spending time with you." And that feeling is mutual. Sometimes parents adopt children, and sometimes children adopt parents. It is a delight and a joy to be called Mom by both Crystal and David. They bring energy and enthusiasm to worship every Sunday, and often bring friends with them. Most of the time, Crystal and David have several friends who are homeless living with them. They are the most open, hospitable people I have ever met. During the 20 years that or plus that I have been part of faith, our congregation has witnessed numerous premature deaths, in part because of the effects of poverty. The hardest being the death of a 4-year-old little boy. And this time, the ability to be proactive and support Crystal in her pregnancy and adoption decision felt like a bit of redemption for the entire faith congregation. Now, this is only one of many stories I could tell of the way our ministry of hospitality has stretched us and blessed us as a little congregation attempting to join God in this holy work. Hospitality, rather than being something you achieve, is something you enter. It is an adventure that takes you where you never dreamed of going. It is not something you do as much as someone you become. You try and you fail. You try again. You make room for one person at a time. You give one chance at a time. And each of these choices of the heart stretches your ability to receive others. In this way, you grow more hospitable by welcoming one person at a time when the opportunity is given to you. May it be so.